The portion of scripture for a meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's letter to the congregation in Rome, chapter 8, beginning with the 11th verse. This is our second lesson for this morning. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, this life isn't always what it's cracked up to be. As fantastic as this life is at times, it often isn't pleasant at all. The world beats you down and gets the best of you. There certainly isn't a shortage of problems that you face on a daily basis. Maybe the problems you have are at school or work. Maybe you don't quite understand something, you can't quite grasp it, so your teacher and your boss are getting increasingly frustrated with you. Maybe you have issues with others. Maybe someone's picking on you or you're not getting the respect that you think you deserve at work. No one really takes you seriously. Maybe you have some sort of family strife. Someone said something that was misinterpreted or misunderstood and ended up offending somebody. Or maybe your family has deserted you or left you or wants nothing to do with you. Perhaps your problem is that you're not able to find a job or you're not able to work and things are getting tight. It's hard to make ends meet. So you struggle. We can go on and on listing things that you suffer through in this life. Of course, there's sickness and disease. Now, some sicknesses, some diseases are curable. Others aren't. But oftentimes, that cure is often quite painful. Maybe the cure is surgery. A painful surgery that will require months and months of rehabilitation. Or maybe the cure is medicine, but that medicine might affect the rest of your body. Or maybe that cure is painful in that it's something like chemotherapy or radiation. Some diseases, some sicknesses aren't even be able to be cured at all, and all the doctors can do is make you more comfortable throughout the rest of your life. But it's not just the sicknesses, it's not just the diseases that you face, but it's also the sicknesses and diseases that your loved ones face. Now, your loved ones have to endure. Take dementia and all its forms, for example. That person you love is no longer himself. I'm like a shell of what he used to be. It's hard to see them go through that. It's hard to see someone who is no longer able to function as they once did. First, they might be forgetful. When they aren't able to do certain things, soon, what they did their whole life, they're no longer able to do. They have to be watched constantly. Their mind keeps on going and going, and soon they're not able to complete even the most basic of tasks. They can't even hold a conversation. And you hate to see them suffer. In fact, the more they suffer, the more you suffer. Because you hate to see your loved one in pain. And then there's death. And the more time, the longer you live in this life, the more often you see the ultimate effect of sin. And usually it goes in order. Well, usually you will bury your grandparents and your parents, maybe an aunt and uncle, maybe an older sibling or two, perhaps eventually your spouse. But sometimes it goes out of order, and you suffer even more. When you suffer when you have to bury your child or your grandchild or maybe unexpectedly your spouse or brother or sister. And then there's your own death. It could come at any time. It could be quick and painless, or it could last over several years and have years and years of agony pain, and suffering. You suffer much in this life. So what can you do? Well, first off, you can complain. We're pretty good at that, aren't we? You complain to anyone about anything. You complain about how horrible your life is, about how you are suffering through this and you're suffering through that. Or you complain that life isn't fair, that somehow you're getting the short end of the stick, that you deserve better than what you're getting. You may even complain to God. God, why aren't you watching over me? Why aren't you taking care of me and protecting me? Why do you seem to be holding me back? Why do others get blessed more by you than me? Why doesn't God just give you a break? But you can complain all you want. You can complain about this, you can complain about that, but soon you're going to come to realization. All the complaining in the world isn't going to help you out. All the whining and complaining is not going to make your life better. So you resolve to make your life better. You pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You do all you can to improve. Perhaps you work hard. Maybe you can get a job and you can get a good paying job. That all you really want is to be able to pay the bills, to maybe to afford health insurance. Perhaps just to make ends meet. Live a comfortable life. And you can do it all. After all, you're talented. You can do anything you want if you put your mind to it and work your hardest. Besides, you're all you've got. You've lived long enough in this world to understand not to trust anybody. Friends have let you down. Family members have betrayed you and left you. It seems God doesn't care about you. You are all you've got. So you try hard and hope for the best. But then eventually you realize something else. Even if you are successful, even if you try hard and become really successful and have lots of money, you still can't take care of everything. You're still going to suffer. People are still going to let you down. People are still going to mistreat you. You're still going to get sick. You're still going to die. And no matter how many medical advancements are made, no doctor is going to keep you from death. So what's the point, you say? What's the point in living? Everything is meaningless. If you try your hard, you try your best, you're still going to suffer. No matter what you do, you're still going to go through troubles and hardships in this life. And so you fall into despair. You give up. You cave in. Life gets you down. Life is hard. You suffer so much, it seems as if this life is too heavy to bear. But then you look at Christ. Jesus lived on this earth as a human, just like you and me. He suffered much in this life. He knew the effects of sin firsthand. People constantly were being brought to Jesus who had the effects of sin. Now Jesus saw people who were crippled and were blind and had sicknesses and diseases, people who were possessed by demons. And what did Jesus do? He healed them. We read again and again how his heart went out to him, how he was filled with compassion, and he healed them. The blind were given sight. The crippled walked. Demons were cast out. Sicknesses and diseases were removed. Jesus had power over the sicknesses and diseases of his day, and he has power over the sicknesses and diseases of your day. He has compassion on us just as He had compassion on them. Jesus proved that He has power over the things that cause death. And He also proved that He has power over death. Three times in the Gospels we see that Jesus raised someone from the dead. Our Gospel lesson for today is probably the most popular and well-known of those examples. Jesus' friend Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. His sisters, Mary and Martha, were distraught, weeping and crying days upon days filled with tears. And when Jesus finally arrived, they complained, "Lord, if You had been here..." Jesus' heart went out to them. He told them some of the most comforting words in all of Scripture. He said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die." Do you believe this? Martha said she believed, but she didn't quite understand. So Jesus took them to the tomb, once more deeply moved, we read, and said, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had been dead for 4 days, whose body had already been decomposing, came out of the tomb with nothing wrong. Perfectly fine. Jesus had power over death. With just His words, death had to listen to Jesus. He saved others, but He can't save Himself. That's the insults that were hurled at Jesus when He was nailed to that cross. They didn't believe that He had power over death. They didn't believe that He was the Messiah who can raise us from the dead. So they mocked Him. Jesus suffered much on that cross. Of course, it's going to be painful when you have nails pounded through your hands and your feet. And there's everything that went before that. When Jesus was punched in the face and hit with rods, crowned with thorns and flogged, He experienced much physical pain. He suffered through it all. And emotional pain too. Well, He was betrayed by one of His disciples. One of His closest disciples denied even knowing Him, and the rest deserted Him. His own countrymen, the Jews who had been waiting for thousands of years for the Messiah to come, sentenced Him to death and put Him on a legal trial and accused Him of blasphemy. The Romans mocked and ridiculed Him and put Him to death. But as much as Jesus suffered at the hands of the Romans, the Jews, His disciples, the most Jesus suffered through was at the hands of His one and only Father. When God forsook Jesus. Forsook Him because Jesus took our sins upon Himself, became guilty of everything we have done wrong, including our unbelief. So God rejected Jesus. He suffered much in this life. But then what happened to Jesus? Of course, we know that 3 days after Jesus died, He was raised from the dead. God raised Him from the dead. He lives. He still lives. You know, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he lived. But eventually Lazarus would die once again. But not Jesus. No, He rose from the dead and He ascended into heaven where He still lives and still reigns over His whole creation. And because Christ lives, we know that we too will live. That's Paul's point in verse 11. "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you." Because Christ lives, you too will live. To paraphrase Jesus' words to Martha, we will live even though we die. On the last day, Christ will come again. And when he comes again, all bodies will be raised from the dead, and all believers will rise to live with him in heaven forever. God will do for you what he did for Christ. Because like Christ, you too are a child of God. You were made a child of God through your baptisms. Through faith, you are a child of God. And if you're God's child, then you're also his heir who will inherit the gift of eternal life in heaven. That's Paul's point in verses 16 and 17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Christ became our brother and lived in this sin-filled world. And so he shared in our sufferings. But sometimes we suffer for being a Christian. Sometimes we suffer as a result of our faith. And so we share in Christ's sufferings. And if we share in his sufferings, then we share in his glory. As Paul also points out in verse 17, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. As God's child, we share everything with our brother Jesus. We share in his sufferings, and we share in his glory. And to share in Jesus' glory means that we'll be perfect and holy like Jesus. Free from sin, free from the effects of sin. So you share in the sufferings of Christ, and you share in the glory of Christ. And the one can't compare with the other. That's Paul's point in verse 18, which is one of the most comforting verses in all of Scripture. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Heaven is so great. Heaven is so wonderful that it cannot compare to anything that we face on this earth. Heaven is that much better. A life free from sin and sorrow and pain and troubles of life with no suffering. In heaven, we get to live side by side with all our fellow believers as we sing the praises of our Savior forever. Better yet, we get to live with Jesus. We get to see him in his full divine glory. To worship him forever. So whatever you suffer through in this life, maybe it's physical pain or emotional pain or whatever troubles you in this life, it cannot compare to the glories that await you in heaven forever. Paul makes a similar point in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Notice what Paul calls what we suffer through in this life. He refers to them as our light and momentary troubles. Light in comparison to the enormous glory that we will receive in heaven. Momentary. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you have a disease that you will have the rest of your life. Maybe you will suffer the rest of your life, but just for your life. It won't last into eternity. It's momentary. The glory you have is forever. So what was unbearable for you, but you couldn't stand the troubles you faced. It's only temporary, and it is only light. And it cannot compare to the glory that far outweighs everything else. Now there is a motivational saying that was real popular in the 90s when I was growing up, and it's still quite popular today in its various forms. It was used by coaches or athletic companies, maybe motivational speakers. The saying goes like this: pain is temporary, pride is forever. Of course, the meaning of that saying is clear and simple. It tells you to work hard, to push through the pain, because that pain you experience maybe by working out or by training only lasts a short time. But that pride you have by working hard, maybe by winning, will last forever. Similar to what we suffer through on this life and what's waiting for us in heaven. Pain is temporary. What you go through, what you suffer through, will only last you a short while, and at the longest, until you die. But glory is forever. Eternal life with your Savior, a perfect life free from sin and its effects, will last into eternity. Therefore, we do not lose heart. This life isn't all there is. There's more to come. There's something better. Something greater. So as you live on this earth, you long for the coming of Christ. You long for that day to come. You can't wait for your eternal life to begin. You keep that hope front and center as you live your life. That's what gets you through the day. So when life gets you down, when you face troubles and hardships and difficulties, when you suffer much in this life, you look to Christ. You see Him on His cross, suffering with you and for you. And see Him in heaven. He was raised from the dead. The same stands for you. Although you suffer now, you won't. And though you may suffer now, all you look is forward and see the incomparable glory that awaits you in heaven. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now join in confessing our faith.